This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Holy Spirit Part 2, was delivered on September 27th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
The power of the Holy Spirit is actually the power of God. The Holy Spirit, you know, we call the Holy Spirit the third person in the Trinity, not a third thing or an entity, but we call him the third person in the Trinity. And although the Bible does not have the word Trinity in the scriptures, all the scriptures point to the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's that like that throughout the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit, whom great works and powers are made clear to see in the scripture. And we call the Holy Spirit his, him. We don't call it. But the Holy Spirit was first seen in the act of creation. In the beginning in Genesis, when it says the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Genesis 1:2. The Holy Spirit also empowered men in the Old Testament to bring about God's will. And we read about it a lot in the Old Testament. In Samuel, he took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Who did he anoint? David. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Although the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, did not permanently indwell God's people in the Old Testament, not like how it permanently indwells us here. It did not permanently indwell God's people in the Old Testament. He worked through them. He gave them power to achieve things that they would not have been able to accomplish on their own. You look at Samson. How many like the story of Samson? His feats of strength are directly attributed to the Spirit coming upon him. In Judges 14:6, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a young goat. What did he tear? A lion. And though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. The Spirit came powerfully upon him. Refers to that unusual physical strength given him by the Spirit. Sometimes when I'm carrying a sheet of plywood, man, oh, help me, you know? You ever carry something so hard that you just like, like, Holy Spirit, help! I don't know if it works that way, but the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and that unusual physical strength given by the Lord. Samson did not seem to be affected in any other way that increased his strength, but the Spirit. But one thing we can't escape as Christians, as Jesus himself pointed to the Holy Spirit and told his disciples, He told his disciples to live in the power of the Spirit. In Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? We receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus. So you have the power. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Power for what? Power to lift wood? Probably not. But power to do his will. Power and boldness to proclaim God. How many of you were like super duper shy people who were like, oh, I don't want to share my faith. I get rejected. I'm just going to keep to myself and be quiet. I mean, I was like that. I was super duper shy. But crazy. I was so shy, so so shy that at my second job, they tell me that I would sit in the corner on my lunch break, not say a word to anyone, and eat my lunch, punch back in, and go back to work. And I was thinking, like, wow. I was, and in speech in high school, I could not get up in front of people and do a speech. And I think, God, you have such a sense of humor, because look what you got me doing now. And I swear, if it's not for the power of the Holy Spirit, you'd call me chicken, because I would flee. I would run away. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, which is when you accepted Jesus Christ. And power what? To be his witnesses in Jerusalem, right? In your home city, in Hilo, Kel, in Judea, in the outskirts, you know, Waimea, and even to the remotest parts of the earth, which is Kona. It's because it's so far away. Yep. I mean, seriously, right? It is far away, because when it's raining here, what do you guys do? Drive to Kona, because it's sunny. The remotest, it's far away. And he'll give you that power, that boldness to proclaim and to share. So what follows that commandment in the books of Acts? When Jesus said this in Acts 1:8, I mean, after this is like a movement unlike anything we've ever seen. A group of ordinary followers, just like you and me, fishermen, tax collectors, all these people, just regular people. The power of the Holy Spirit used a group of ordinary followers of Jesus. And what did they do? They turned their world upside down. They live opposite of what the world was saying, telling them to do. That same power that they had, that same potential of the Holy Spirit, exists today. For some believers, for all believers, for all of us, every one of you right here who said yes to Jesus Christ, that same power exists for you today. Sometimes we think, like, but we seem to be missing it. Why can't these things that happen in Acts happen now? Are we missing something? You know, Christians and churches tell us that maybe people don't seem to be living that dynamic, world-changing power of the Holy Spirit. We may not be living the way they live. We may even be missing it by something. So the thing is, how do we get back? Because when I go to our church conferences on the mainland, I hear incredible stories about people getting healed in Cambodia, in the South Pacific, and I think, like, wow, I'm so inspired. And I try to bring that back, that excitement, that power. So how do we get back? How can we see what happened in the book of Acts happen today? What does it look like on a practical level to live in the power of the Holy Spirit every day? You know, like James was sharing, he felt that prompting. Say something. And a lot of times it's going to be like a real small little voice. It's going to be easy to ignore. But what do we need to do? Well, we need to, you know, get really close to the power source. And who is the power source? God. So number one, we need to draw near to God. In James 4:8, wow, we're talking about James a lot today, yeah? Oh, James. James 4:8 says, you know, James, I got to say, James, you better, when you see your mother and your father, tell them, thank you for naming me James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He had a big thing to live up to. Imagine growing up as Jesus as your brother, man. You're having a perfect brother. Oh. Yeah. So James, for it, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. So here's how do you draw near to God? Like, can I just like draw near to Him? Go that way. Go this way. Where is He? He's all around. Draw near to God. How do I do that? Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. I mean, this is a step that takes purpose and intention. We gotta make the effort. We gotta be intentional. We gotta make it like it's God's presence is so important to us that we make time to spend with God. It's like eating, man. We're so intentional about eating. I mean, I gotta make sure I get food, because sometimes I get caught up in work and studying that it comes to the point where I start shaking, and my wife gives me scoldings when I do that, because I'm not supposed to wait to that point. But I mean, so I'm intentional, make sure food is like 2 or 3 minutes away. So we got to make sure we're intentional about drawing near to God. We got to make, like for me, I love to get up early, and I love to head into the office early, and I love to spend time with God early in the morning. And this is what, in Mark 1:35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. I mean, early, while it was still dark. You know, the sun rises a little bit later, so we can get up a little bit later, and it's still going to be dark, right? You notice that, right? Because if it was summertime, we would have to get up at 4:30 or 4 o'clock to get away, and it's still dark. But now we can get up a little bit later. But it was early in the morning when Jesus got up, kind of, I think for Jesus, because He had so many people crowding around Him, that was like the only time He could get away and be alone and spend time with His Father, because if everybody got up, then they would be kind of wanting Him to heal their sicknesses and diseases. But Jesus got up early in the morning to pray, to spend time with the Father. And if we really want to live in the power of the Spirit, I mean, we got to get up every, I say in the morning, and start the day in the presence of God. And that takes intentionality. We got to actually plan it. We got to say, I'm going to set my alarm at, you know, whatever time you like. I like to set my alarm at 4 or 4:30. And maybe for you, you like to press snooze. Well, you know, you can on your phone, there's a setting, you can eliminate the snooze button. Just kidding. I had you going, right? Put your phone across the bedroom. But yeah, I mean, there's once in a while I press snooze, and something's wrong when I do that, because usually I pop out of bed at the first sign of my alarm. But we got to plan it. We got to be intentional about it. We got to make it happen. And, you know, I get up in the morning, and, you know, it's like, good morning, Lord, and I'm off and running. And sometimes we cannot be surprised if God's power might be lacking in our lives, if we never make the priority to get before God. You know, we may get up at 9 o'clock and boom, and do go straight to work. And by 9 o'clock, I'm already tired. But, you know, we got to make time. Get up early in the morning. Get in the presence of God. And sit and listen. We need to purposefully make time. Not just to sit at the feet of God and say, Lord, I need peace. I need healing. I need food. I need a new car. I need a better job. I need new fishing poles. I need new power tools. I need new tires. We need to sit before God and say, Lord, speak. Speak. I so desperately want to hear you. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Get still. Get quiet. Get before God. And that's step number one. And if he tells you to do something, like he told James, share. If he tells you to do something, don't take it as, oh, that's a really great suggestion, Lord. I'll consider it. If he tells you to do something, if he tells you, hey, I want you to go get up and take some food to your neighbor, then go do it. Or if maybe you're feuding with your neighbor, if he tells you, go and make up with your neighbor, oh, Lord, you don't know what you're asking. You know, if he tells you to do something, don't take it as a suggestion. If you sit before God and say, Lord, your servant is listening, speak. And if he speaks, what are you going to do? I hope you listen. Number two, humble yourself. Now, if we want to be filled with the Spirit, then I think it's best to empty ourselves first, because if it would be hard for the Spirit to fill you if you're full of yourself, right? I mean, you know what I mean. You're full of yourself, like, oh, I'm the best. You know, athletes when they home run, touchdown. Pull out the shirt, make like the Superman. Like, if you're full of yourself, how can the Spirit fill you? If I had my cup full of coffee and I put tea inside, like, it's not going to work. You know, we need to empty ourselves so that God can fill us. Like John 3:30, he must increase while I decrease. So God must come greater in my life while I become less and less. One thing you'll find in the Bible, in the scriptures, is God, he hates pride. He really does, you know. In James 4:6, he gives greater grace. Therefore, God says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In James 4:10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know, James 4 talks about God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. James says that if you are prideful, God opposes you. Many Christians will never experience the full power of the Spirit because God is opposing them because of their pride. God hates pride. What happened? I mean, look at Satan. He was prideful. He was boastful. He was the worship guy in heaven. And he was planning to become greater than God. And God said, it's gone. Cast down. Humbling yourself is about submitting, emptying yourself so that God can fill you with his Spirit. Prayer, kneeling, declaring your dependence on God. Ask for yourself every Sunday morning when I get up in the middle of the night, man, I am right there, Lord, I need you. Because if you're not here with me, then I'm not getting up on the stage. And we're just going to have the worship team sing for 1 hour, which would be pretty nice. Might be nicer than listening to me. Yeah. Living in the power of the Spirit will never come without humility. So, however you need to get over yourself, get over yourself. Like they told me before, get a ladder so you can get over it. Or build a bridge so you can get over it. Just get over yourself. If you think you are so great, then you're really not. Number three, obey what the Spirit says. Like James did, this requires when you hear, you obey. When you get before God, you don't do all the talking. You listen. You look at Acts 13 and you'll find that the missionaries that were sent when a group of leaders were praying and fasting, in Acts 13 too, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Not only did the Spirit speak, but they listened, they obeyed. So after they fasted, they prayed, they placed their hands on them, sent them off. Just like you instinctively, you know the sound of your spouse's voice. When are you going to wash the dishes? When are you going to vacuum the garage? I wish you would pick up your clothes. You know that voice, right? Because you spend time with them. So if you spend time in the presence of God, and the more time you spend in the presence of God, the more you'd recognize his voice, the voice of the Spirit. Then, okay, it's up to you to obey. Because when the Spirit speaks, like I said, he's not giving you suggestions, giving you commands. And since you've already humbled and submitted yourself by this point, you're ready to obey. Now, get this, if you keep on ignoring your voice, you know, you keep on ignoring the voice of your spouse. Pretty soon, when they talk, you're just not going to hear them anymore. You're just numb. What do they call it? Selective hearing? That's why we need that medicine, right? Hear it all. Hear it all. Hear it all. Okay? Sometimes it goes in, comes out. Because we're just tired of hearing it over and over again. So pretty soon, they're just not going to speak. They're just going to say, I'm not going to tell him to pick up his clothes or pick up the towel. I'm not going to tell him to put down the toilet seat because they don't listen. Sometimes if you ignore the Spirit, if you just keep ignoring him time after time, he tells you go feed your neighbor, you don't. He tells you go put in gas for that person at the pump. When you ever go to the gas station and see these people with everything in the car and they put $2 of gas in the gas tank? You ever see that? I've seen that a couple of times, and I go over there and I put my credit card and I fill up their tank. And they look at me like, why are you doing this? Well, because the Spirit of God prompted me to go. You ever gave somebody money for gas just because, you know, you've seen them parked in the parking lot, they're kind of cruising there, they're kind of living in the car maybe, and they don't have gas to go anywhere, so that's why the car is parked there. And you ever went up to them, give them like $20 for gas just for no reason because the Spirit told you? It's like, wow, it's like, how did you know? I mean, it's not for you to say, well, I don't like to go buy beer or go buy stuff. If the Spirit tells you to do it, are you going to say, well, Lord, Spirit, I don't care. Because if you tell me to give James $100, I know you're going to Tokunaga's. If the Spirit tells me to give him $100 so he can buy his wife flowers, I said, but Lord, if I give you $100, you're going to Tokunaga's. But that's not for me to say. If the Spirit tells me to give you $100, then what am I supposed to do? Give him $100. Amen? Amen? Not question the Spirit. Well, what if they go buy cigarettes and beer? But if the Spirit tells you to give or do something, the point is you got to do it. And if you keep ignoring it, pretty soon you're just going to be numb. And you're not going to even hear that voice anymore. So here's the thing. How do I know if that's the actual Spirit telling me to do this? Well, test everything against God's words. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, there's so many things, so many resources teaching that that claim to be Christianity. And it can lead so much people astray. You know, you type in stuff on the internet, boom, everything comes up. And if you look closely, some might be Jehovah's Witness, some might be Mormon, some might be Catholic, some might be Christian. You got to check. And then whatever it says, you cannot take it for its word, but you got to compare it to the Word of God, the Bible. When we live in the power of the Spirit, it does not negate or invalidate the need for God's Word. So we can say, oh, I just live by the Spirit. I just listen, whatever he says. But there's good spirits and bad spirits. What if a spirit tells you go rob this bank and then give the money to the church? Seriously, you better not do that. You really better not do that, because that's the wrong spirit. Because we got to test everything with the Word of God. God spoke to us about his will. That doesn't mean that God cannot speak to us outside of the Bible. God wants to interact with us every day through the Holy Spirit. But that does not mean God will not tell you something through the Holy Spirit that will contradict the Bible. Okay? God already gave us instructions, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. Okay? So he still can speak to us out of that. But whatever he tells us through the Spirit is not going to go against what he's already told us in his word. His word is going to confirm, like what James says, what he said this morning, it confirms the word. Why? Because it encouraged us. It built us up. It didn't make him look like, put him prideful on a pedestal. He shared out of his humility what God has done for him in his life. And what the Holy Spirit tells you would not contradict what the Bible has already spoken to us. So, when the Holy Spirit speaks, and if you're confused or you're not sure, check it with God's Word. And if it confirms, the Bible confirms what he says, then go ahead and do it. If it contradicts what the Bible says, then, hey, by all means, don't do it. If you're not sure, call Pastor Aaron, because he's smart. 808, no, oh, never mind. You're going to hang me up after that. But believe me, I want you to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit prompts you to call somebody, then call somebody. If the Spirit prompts you to encourage somebody, go and encourage them. You know, if the Spirit prompts you to go and serve or clean or... You know, if you're driving down the road and you see one rubbish bag that broke open on the side and the Holy Spirit says you go pick up that rubbish, don't say, no, that's not mine. Go pick it up. And if you need company, call me. I'll go with you. If the Holy Spirit tells you to pray for your enemies, what are you going to do? Pray for him. Why? Because the Bible says pray for your enemies, right? Confirms what the Holy Spirit tells you. So, draw near to God, humble ourselves, empty yourselves out, obey. And when he speaks, test it with the Word of God. Amen? I want us to be people like, hey, healing, it's in the Bible. The Bible tells you go pray for somebody who is sick. Hey, that's biblical. Go pray for them who is sick. James said, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, offer a prayer in faith. Mark 16 says, lay hands upon the sick and they will be healed. So I pray, let's pray. Lord, we pray for everyone here and everyone out on Facebook, that they would draw near to you, that they would realize, they would see the power of the Holy Spirit manifest in their life, that they would move in that Spirit, they would draw close, humble themselves, fill themselves with your Spirit, and they would obey, that this would be a most powerful week for them, that they would hear that voice and take it as a command, not a suggestion, and they would obey in boldness and in faith with that power that filled them, that filled Peter, that transformed him from a person who spoke at the wrong time to a person who was powerful in his speech. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, that we would draw close to God, we would hear his voice, obey his commands, and that from this day forward, we would operate in that power and nothing less. And every single day, as we draw close to you, that power will increase. Not so that we can get boastful, but so that we can boast about you and your power. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, would you stand, and we're going to sing some songs before we go.
Can I share one thing? You know, at our men's ministry, I believe that our men come together to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Amen. That's oftentimes what we pray, that the Holy Spirit fill us afresh. And this morning, as James shared about his experiences at the hospital, Brother Raymond shared this morning that when he sang that song, "All That I Offer My Life," he cried. And that's what we do at the men's ministry. We come together, nobody's looking, and we cry with each other. And because we humble ourselves before our Lord. And what we encourage each other to do also is, when we sing songs, we not only sing it, we pray it from our hearts using the music and words. So join us in that way. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.